Do you know how powerful you are? Welcome to Rise Urban Nation.
Welcome everybody to Rise Urban Nation.
Reshaping and elevating your mindset to help you achieve what you believe.
Sometimes we don't even see our own greatness. You can't be what you can't see.
And connecting Black cultures to build a community of talent and success.
Black people need to realize that they are assets. You are an asset.
When we rise, you rise.
Come together as a group.
This is Rise Urban Nation with Terrell Simmons.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Rise Urban Nation. Your host, Terrell Simmons, here. The next guest I got coming in that you're going to hear from, Mr. Ron Brenton. He is one of those people that you just met and you could feel his energy, his passion, and just had some great conversation. I linked up with him on a virtual like group where we got to talk about different youth programming and how we could support our youth, and then also just getting to know the community itself that was supporting this community of amazing young people, where I got to connect with a lot of amazing folks on that group call. And me and him decided to link up after the group call, and we just had so much energy flowing and things that we could connect on. He's a poet, he's an author, he's a lyricist, and he was just born to teach, and he writes revolutionary insight to the masses, and he has a couple books that we'll get to share in this episode. So without further ado, let's get into this episode in this masterpiece of what I call his masterpiece to bringing healing to the hearts of humanity. That's his MO, Mr. Ron Brenton, ladies and gentlemen. All right, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Rise Urban Nation. This brother, this like third, second kin cousins, but I feel like we right at home today. I met this brother about a week ago, and the way he spoke, and then I got to read more about him, learn more about him. I was just teasing him. I was putting the pressure on him. I was like, I don't want to put the pressure on him, but he kind of reminds me of a modern day James Baldwin. Mr. Ron Brenton is in the house. Welcome, sir. How are you this fine morning?
Hey, I'm doing great, my brother, from another mother. I'm doing great. I'm honored to be on your podcast. It's been a long time coming, but the change has come.
Yes, it has. Yes, it has. Now, you have this wonderful I don't know what to call it, a life testimony scripture. It's a little syntax that you gave earlier today, and then you gave it at a meeting that we was both at, and it just hit me profoundly. And I think it sets the right tone for our conversation today to talk about the work that you've been called to do and you walking in your path. Could you share it with the people real quick? Because I can't recite it as lovely as you do.
Okay. This is by James Allen, which is one of my mentors I never met, but one of my favorite writers. It's called As a Man Thinketh. He said, Mine is master powerful and it most and make. Man is mine and evermore he takes. Tools on thought, shaping what it will. Be it a thousand joys or a thousand ills. He thinks in secret, it comes to pass. His environment is but his looking glass. As a man thinketh, so he becomes, and you know that's right.
Yeah. So what does that mean to you, good sir? When you recite and you hear that line, what does it mean to you, and how does it help shape, you know, the man that you become?
Well, the way that particular poem has helped me was that the mind is master powerful and it's unlimited in its creativity. Whatever you can imagine, you can accomplish. Mm. And I think sometimes we don't accomplish things because we talk ourselves out of things, mm-hmm, instead of talking ourselves into something. Mm. And so years ago, I looked back and I read a book and I said, oh, I could do that. Oh, I can do that. Mm-hmm. And so I did. And so, you know, the thing is this, you either have fear or faith. Fear said, oh, I'm not qualified, I can't do it. And faith said, listen, you can do anything you put your mind to. You just need to take some steps. See, conviction without effort is worthless.
Yes.
If you're persuaded about something, you need to take some corrective natural, practical efforts. They both go hand in hand together. And that's why we see the manifestation of dreams and vision and the unmanifestation of dreams and vision. Do you know that the graveyard is the greatest place of gifts and talent that has never been developed? A lot of people have died with great poems, number one best-selling book, number one hit songs, number one musical plays, and number one movies because they were too afraid to take action.
That is so true. You know, I often wonder what makes us stop and take action. Like, I mean, I have my thoughts, but I'd love to hear your thoughts as well. You know, another thing that me and you share that the viewers may not know is a harmonium. Did I say it right? Because I know,
yes,
I know they.
Yes.
I used to do their primetime program. I know you work with them as well. This was during my time at San Diego Workforce Partnership, where I was doing like a lot of career development for youth, especially youth from underserved communities, juvenile and so forth. And the one thing, when I used to go in and speak to them, and I used to have these jobs that and internship programs that we set up for them, even though I was there and I was just giving them the game and I'm giving them a way in, they still had these limiting beliefs. And then even the adults would work with them had these limiting beliefs on what they could be and what they could do. And it used to like baffle me, like how do you know, somebody else was projecting what it is that this other person could or could not do. And it's probably based on their own fears or what they couldn't do. Right.
Yeah,
I think Jay-Z said it best one time. He, like, his uncle said to him, like, you'll never sell a million records. And he's like, I sold a million records like 1,000 times. Like, it wasn't that my uncle meant bad for me. It's like, he just couldn't see the vision, or he couldn't do it because he tried to do it. And he got, you know, it didn't work out for him like it did. And he wanted to protect me from it, right? He wanted to see me go a different path. That's probably what he wanted. So he projected that on me, right?
Yes.
But, you know, everybody has their own gift. And you know, you need to manifest your gift and your skill talent to reach what it is. People can't see your vision and your gift. Like, that was meant for you to develop. Like, so how do people, I guess, get out of this limiting belief factor and start tapping into their gift?
Well, number one, you have naysayers and you have faith sayers. The one that talks you out of your dream, your vision, and the one that talks you into your dream and vision. And those are mentors. They talk those into their dreams and their vision. The thing they have to do is they have to, number one, change their circles.
Yeah,
you got to change your environment. Everything grows in an environment. And so when James Allen was talking about that, he says, your mind is like a garden. It will grow weeds or it will grow flower seeds. The weeds choke out the flower or the seed. That's why it's a process called pruning and cutting away. We got to take control of this mind here and say, okay, this is my dream. This is my vision. Let me find somebody that can speak to my dream and my vision. Everybody can't speak to you. People like Mike Murdoch, he speaks to my dream and vision. People like Napoleon Hill, he speaks to my dream and vision. People like Dr. Dennis Kimbrough, he speaks to my vision. People like Dr. Cindy Trim, she speaks to my vision. So guess what? Dr. Tony Evans, he speaks to my vision. So guess what? I give my mind and my attention to those who helps build me indirectly. They speak to what I believe and know to be true. That's the key, is first changing the mind. It says this. I'm going to throw a couple of scriptures in there, Doc. Romans 12:2 says, be not conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, the mind is like a computer. Every now and then you get a glitch, you get some errors. When people speak in negativity, you getting errors, you getting glitches. So what do? You delete, you reboot, you reinitiate, you get rid of the old stuff so you can update the new stuff. And reading is the most powerful privilege in the world. It's free. But if you don't know that reading will cause you to be a leader, then you're kind of doing yourself a disservice. That's why school is so important, that you develop the gift of reading, and reading is a privilege and a gift. And I love it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is a privilege and a gift. You know, just to think about it and put it in perspective, like, I had a conversation with somebody the other day, and they were talking about, like, you know, why we are not moving forward as a Black community or setting up the right businesses. And it was like, well, give people grace. Like, just remember, just three grandmas ago, we weren't allowed to read.
Right, definitely.
Like three grandmas ago, we weren't allowed to read. So now we need to get this back into, you know, something that's just normal, right, for our community to pick up a book, read a book, and share that knowledge and information with each other, right? And speaking of books, you wrote several books. I want to talk about some of the books you've written. So let's start with which one was your first book? Because I see you got four of them.
My first book was called Man or Monster in 2010.
Yeah. Okay.
This is about boys and men, fathers and sons, relationship, and the penal system.
Mm.
One day I was working in the office and I was doing some notes, and so I heard a couple of my coworkers talk about this boy. And I had the thought, man or monster. So I sat down and wrote that poem. And my first book was going to be called Misspell Rhymes for Hard Time. But I had a guy come into town, and when he came into town, I read that poem to him. And he said, oh, man, I see a website. I see a book. And that was the turning point of the direction of my first book. That's why I named it Man and Monster, because he spoke to it. And I said, oh, okay. So I went with it. Mm-hmm. And so that book was developed. And so that was in 2010. And then I think a year later in 2011, I wrote something called Novelty, Where It's a Passion for Her. This is, you know, where I put about good relationship, bad relationship, and I put a little Mac in this, a little love in this, a little disappointment in this, know what to look out. So this was my first book cover. But then I revised it to this book cover. Now with 3 words of passion for her. I have two more books I'm writing. One called Black, White, and Gray, The Transformation of a Heart. And then the sequel to that is called Gold, Copper, and Silver, The Transformation of Her Perception. One is heart and one is perception. So I'm done with the fifth one. I'm working on the sixth one, the seventh one, and the eighth one.
And don't forget about Dark Journey to Blackness.
Oh, brother, that's coming up next, Doc. And then I finished this one in 2017. This is about our journey in America. Slavery, the difficulty, the oppression, the system that we're still dealing with today. Mm-hmm. See, slavery has not changed. It just took on a different form or face. Nice. We're dealing with systems now. Mm-hmm. And I dedicate this to us as a culture, as the Black race. Our journey has been a dark one. And it's been a whole lot of blackness. Not that blackness, black is good, because black is beautiful. But the things we have to endure, the things we have to face still yet today, even in America.
Yeah.
But that's all good, because we are a resilient type of people. We overcome. We're strong. And so I wrote this for us.
Yeah. Well, thank you for writing that for us. You know, as you know, I do diversity, equity, and inclusion work as well. And I say the biggest thing that, you know, there's the mindset component, right? But there's also the systems component, which...
Yes.
Is not given the space for, you know, us to thrive to our fullest potential, you know, from the educational system, which does not teach Black love and Black history in the context that we could get it from other books or from our communities. There is the government systems, the education systems.
Yes.
And let's not talk about the school to prison pipeline system, which we all fully aware of, you know, that these systems are just not designed for us to thrive.
Right.
So, and if I'm always in survival mode, it makes it hard. If you look at Maslow's hierarchy of needs to get to the place where I can just actuate and thrive and, you know, and be my greatest self. But still, in the midst of all that, we have so much love as a black people. I call it black love, that we find a way to overcome.
Yes.
They tried to bury me. They didn't know I was a seed, right?
Right. You was a seed. Yeah. And the thing about a seed is this. You can put a seed on the concrete, and that seed will break that concrete. The life is in the seed. That's why seeds are so powerful. Seed reproduce after their own kind. You cannot stop a dream and a vision that does not give you permission. Mm. A lot of times we give people too much permission to do certain stuff. No, baby, the buck stops here. You have no more permission. Don't get it twisted, because guess what? I don't think so. We don't check people like we should check people. And you know, there's a lot of biases, stereotypes about it. You know, when God made us, he made us the way we were. He didn't make us to be like other people. That's what makes us so unique. And so guess what? I love who I am. I'm black and I'm male and I'm strong. I'm intellectual. I'm a thinker. So you can think whatever you want about me. Don't judge the book by the cover. Because one day you may need me to help you see? And so we living in that, and it's a reality. We got to deal with it. We don't have a choice. We got to work with it.
You know, what I struggle with sometimes is the understanding of, you know, one, why people give their power away. Because I'm at fault at this. Sometimes I have given my power away or given permission away, right?
Yes.
And it's a constant, you know, fight. Like, why did I just give my permission and power away just like that? Like, and how do I take it back? So do you find yourself in that constant battle and struggle? Then how do you, like, re-regulate or re-get into focus to get back to where you need to be?
Well, I go back into, okay, and I say to myself, who am I? I ask the question, who am I? And what's my purpose? And when I ask the question, who I am and what's my purpose, then I get the answer. I look back at my past and I look at my present and I'm looking at my future. And I say, okay, I've established who I am, because if you want to know the purpose of the thing, you got to go back to the creator. You know, when you make a car, you go to Ford, or you go to GM, or you go to Toyota, and they have a manuscript. They have a plan or a book that tells you how everything functions. Me, I go back to God. Who am I? What's my purpose? And so as I have that relationship, that spiritual relationship, I find out that, man, discovery here, discovery there, discovery there. And I found out, man, in 2000, I wrote a poem called Robotus Elicitatus. Mm-hmm. I was in a factory. I was a machine operator. I was a material operator, and I was bored as heck. And so I just sat down and I wrote the poem. Then in 2005, I had read the book called Stevie Covey, called The Seventh or Eighth Effective Habit. And I was on the computer writing. And then all of a sudden, I was challenged on the computer to write a poem. And then it dawned on me, I had an epiphany. Poetry is my voice. And from that point on, 2005, I've been writing that.
Nice. I love it.
And so these have been part of my discovery in my life. But I asked the question, who am I and what is my purpose? Mm-hmm. There's no need to understand your purpose if you're not asking the question.
And I think that's the key question, you know, especially, you know, I didn't ask that question too much later in my life. and I still constantly ask that question, too, because, you know, I find myself evolving as a man. And, you know, the thing I love about the work that we do with youth, and especially the juvenile youth, when we ask them that question, like, who are you? Right? Because, you know, I was once one of those youth, too. And it took a mentor to, you know, and my grandma and the village to have some talkers to me, right? Because my dad went down the wrong route, didn't know him, you know. One of the unfortunate stories of a black man growing up in America, or a young boy growing up in America. And so my stepdad was Nigerian, and he was a great provider, but he wasn't really present in a household like that, because he was a provider, right? That's how he learned how to be a man. So the social emotional thing wasn't there. So I went to the streets to learn that, right? And I remember my grandmother said to me one day, like, boy, you in the house, you happy go lucky, right? That's who you are, right? You like to tell jokes, you like to cut a fool, right? So why you over there in the corner hanging out with them sad, angry and lonely thugs? If this who you is, right? Who are you, son? Yeah. You know, I didn't understand that then, but I understand it now, right? All I have to say is, like, so when I do this work, I that's one of the things I usually like to ask, like, who are you? Like, and I tell them, ask that question. Give me the words. What comes to mind? And you keep asking that question. Who are you? Who are you? Until they run out of words. And then, like, all right, look at all that. Your purpose is somewhere in there. This is who you say you are.
Yes. And you're so right. What happened is, we're being programmed all the time by TV, by media. And instead of taking time to take a time away from all of that and really just find out who you are, we kind of simulate to those images. And sometimes some programming is dangerous. If your computer get a certain program, it's considered a virus and it will corrupt your whole drive and everything. So we got to go back through our family and ask the question, who am I? They can give you history of your past. See, if you forget about your past, you're subject to repeat it. You see, if you don't learn from your past. And so you learn from your past, you work your present, and you plan your future. You see what I mean? And so you got to take control. You got to take control and say, listen, this is my life. I got one life to live. Let me live it my way, but live it according to wisdom and understanding and knowledge. Just don't be ignorant and just go out there and throw your life away. You know, there was a truth about 2020 and 2021. There was at least 200 rappers each year that were murdered, removed. And I asked the question, if you got that kind of gift and talent, why did you lose your life so soon? The environment of the mind. You know, it's no wrong with rapping. I love rap because I can rap too. Chocolate conversation, use your imagination. You know what I mean? But when I'm rapping, I'm either doing one of two things. I'm either preaching the gospel or I'm preaching gossip. When you talk about killing and bitches and hoes, you're preaching a gossip. You're preaching lies. You're preaching untruth. You're preaching somebody else's stereotype. You're preaching somebody else's philosophy. But when I preach the gospel, I'm preaching you the truth about who you really are, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. One keeps you in bondage, and one sets you free. One is a death sentence, and one is a life sentence. That's the difference. They're getting the early death sentence for a few dollars.
Nah.
Which shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul?
I love that you broke it down that way. Like, one keeps you in bondage, one sets you free. Because I watched a documentary some time ago where they talked about this, the music industry being used as a system to keep our people in bondage, right? Because once upon a time in the 90s, there was a lot of black empowerment rap, right?
Yeah.
Talking about our roots, our past, people wearing dashikis and the African prince and the sun goddess and talking about that stuff. And it did have its own place where it sit, where it became popular. But the systems be the record systems, they made a deal with the devil to say.
That's what they did.
They privatize, you know, the prison system where, you know, there's a behind there. Like, how do we keep, you know, the prison system full? Well, like, well, what if this rap music thing seems to be the thing of the culture? Why don't we, you know, amplify this bondage culture that allows us to have another pipeline so we could keep making money in this privatized system where we get free labor from to keep the system going.
And you know, it is so true. And I think we know that and we can see it. But the question is, what are we doing about it? I mean, you know, it goes so deep and it just scales. And so, but if you don't know, what can you do? And so we have to educate ourselves. We can see, you know, you can see the enemy when he's doing his dirt. You can see it. He said, oh, I see you. You're trying to hide your hand, but I could see you. We know the systems that you put in place. And so, but us having knowledge, that's the thing that frees us. A lot of times you can be incarcerated in your body, but freed in your mind. And sometimes you could be freed in your body or freed in your mind. Okay, you could be incarcerated with your body, freed in your mind, or you could be locked in your mind and your body be free. Which one you want to be?
So that's true. Key.
So I prefer to be free on the outside and on the outside.
Amen to that. I say the same thing. So I know you're going to inspire a lot of people who's going to listen to this and want to be free from bondage. But let's go back a little bit. I always like to go into people's stories of their journey. As you know, when you listen to any of my podcasts. You know, because I remember a young person used to say to me, like, when I used to come in and talk about where I'm at, I was like, well, and they had this misconception that, like, I grew up middle class and I always had these opportunities and I didn't start from the bottom, right? And so I like to tell people, like, nah, like, my first job was this. I was on the, I did some time, right? I had to sit, almost spent a whole lot of time in juvie if I didn't turn this right path to have a mentor. You know, but it wasn't, it was humble pie beginnings. Let's just say that. So, but let's start from the journey of, what was your first job?
My first job actually was in 1974. For some reason, they asked me if I wanted to, like, clean the cafeteria. And I did, maybe for several days, and my first check was $96.
Get out of here.
That was my first job. Yeah, wow. It's even on my tax thing, on my my record, $96. I looked it up. Yeah,
look at that, y'all. From $97 in the cafeteria to being a thought leader, thought thinker, amazing author. I'm gonna add best-selling author because I'm gonna put that in the universe.
Come on, bro. We heard you write about it. Great minds think alike, Doc. I'm one of the best kept secrets that haven't been revealed just yet, but I'm on my way.
Now, I know you spoke a little bit about, you know, that first poem turning the book, but tell me, like, what were the steps that you took to get that started, to like go from a poem to actually crafting the book and then and putting it out there? What was the steps that kind of happened? Give me that breakdown.
Well, the steps, when I discovered that I could write poetry, there was a passion or fire to it. I had a lot to say because I had all this life experience and all these different things I've gone through, all these trials, all these tribulations. So the best way that I'd express myself was put it on paper. And as I take this journey, when I started writing, man, I wrote on everything, brother. It's almost like I was addicted to poetry. I wrote on paper. I wrote on cardboard. I wrote on tissue paper. I wrote on anything that I could write on. And that gift began to, it's almost like a flood, man. My thoughts begin to flood into my spirit. And I begin to write. I'm at work working. I was a banjo. I used to make banjo. And I had these little cardboard, and I'd be writing, from working. And so it actually became an obsession. But little did I know, all of that was already in me. It was just waiting for the appropriate time to come out of me. So it became a habit. And so that led to the development of what I do now today. I got something called DDM.
What's that?
DDM means discovery. You must discover your gifts and talents. Once you discover it, the second D is development. You must go through the development process. Once you develop it, then there's something called the implementation process. Once you begin to implement, then you see the end, which is the manifestation. That's why I call it DDM, D-D-I-M. I discovered that process.
I'm about to steal that. I'm about to write that down. D-D-I-M. Yeah. Hold on, bring
D-D-M.
Like, say that again for the people in the back who didn't hear you.
The first D is called discovery. You must discover who you are, what you are, and what you can do. The second D is development. You need to read books. You need to find people with like passion. You need a mentor that can speak into your life, hold you accountable, and all the other rest. And then the third one is called implementation. Once you discover, then you develop. You must implement a plan and how you want to disperse this gift, this talent. Then once you do that, then it's called the manifestation. Then they see the final work. And this is my fourth manifestation.
Woo! Okay.
The memoirs of a vet mind wars.
Uh-huh.
How did this vet? I used to be in the army.
Oh, you was a vet too? Wow.
Yeah, I'm a vet too, doctor. As well as an ex-juvenile officer, a detention officer.
Wow.
So the brother got some skills that's real.
You got some skills and some stories. Like, let's just say that. You got not only a best-selling book in there, you got like a docuseries, you got a television show, a movie, probably a couple movies.
Don't forget, I'm a lyricist.
You got some songs in there too.
I got songs in there, doc. Listen, life wouldn't be the same. You know what I mean? And I said, I wrote some songs. I tried to hit up a few people like on Facebook. I said, you know, I put like little clues in it. Listen, I got some lyrics. You better get with it. And nobody hit me back. But you know what? Watch out. I got some stuff. I'm working. I have 16 that's copyrighted. Mm-hmm. And I'm presently working on 10 more.
Nice.
Eight of them are done, and I got to do two more. Then I will copyright them. And so, you know, I'm just building up my resume, you know, just in case Marsha Ambrosia want to get with a brother and holler. I want to pray for me, girl.
Marsha, please, because your voice is silky, smooth, sultry, and you got so much soul.
Man, I could help her out, brother. She just hollered at her brother, you know what I mean? No, I dropped a few lines on her Facebook. If she don't holler at her brother, listen, she gonna miss. Listen, opportunity and time happen to all of us.
Right.
We all got 24 hours in the day. So guess what? We all got the same opportunity. Mm-hmm. But we must take it and develop it,
mm-hmm.
regardless of how difficult it is.
Nah.
Greatness comes through difficulty, not easiness.
That, you know, now that I think about it, I think you got a podcast in you too. If you ever want to start that up,
I just happen to know, brother. Talking about it, dog. I just ain't got it started. In fact, I talked to my son about 6 months ago. He has a podcast, and he said, "Dad, you need your own podcast." I said, "You're right." And so I'm looking into starting my own podcast.
Well, it's you need a mentor, you need somebody to help you develop it. I just happen to know it, brother.
You could be my mentor then. Help a brother out. You could be my co-facilitator. Man, we're going to drop this like it's hot. Girl, I'm going to spit some rhymes. It's going to blow some mind. But ladies, you better take your time and get that glass of wine so brother can talk to you for a little while.
I love it. All right. So thanks for, you know, sharing those steps. I love that. I'm definitely going to steal it and share it with the masses and make sure
okay,
I watch
sure,
it.
You're
credit,
right.
Credit to the man, the myth, the legend who gave it to me.
Yes.
With all this life experience, what's one good lesson life has taught you?
Well, the one good lesson life has taught me, and I kind of made me some notes here. Put on my peepers, you know what I mean? One good life lesson that life has told me was get in touch with your passion on assignment. It's the one thing that will give you satisfaction.
I like that.
Whatever you're passionate about, go full force with it. And there's very few things that gives us satisfaction. But your passion and assignment, man, it gives you all that you need. That's one good lesson.
Nah, that's a good one. And because I think when we're younger, we have those dreams, right? And you know, sky's the limit when you're younger, depending on the environment.
Yes.
And then as we start to get older, we start to revert from those dreams and get away from our gut instincts and our intuition, those things that help you be full self and just manifest. And we start just coming these practical robots.
Yes.
To be
right.
A cog in the system. And I'm like, how did we get here? You were programmed.
Yes.
And so now you have to unprogram yourself.
Yes.
So let's see.
You know, you ever watch Star Trek?
Yeah.
Where there's this one group called the cyborgs. You know what they said? Submit, because resistance is futile. And so we have a cyborg system that's constantly trying to program us. And if we don't resist, we become just like clones. We become like all the rest. And so that's what's so powerful when during slavery, they didn't want you to read or know how to write, because they knew if you knew that, then you would know what they know and that you would have power to counteract their demise, their tricks, their schemes, their wiles. Knowledge is power, and power is knowledge. Out of all thy getting, get an understanding. Mm. Wisdom is the principal thing.
Mm. Mm. Yeah, you said it best right there. I can't. I don't even have no follow up to that one. what is some advice you would give to someone who would like to start a career in your industry? And I know your industry is tricky because you're so gifted that you've written books. You're a counselor, you're a teacher, you're an educator. So I mean, you could speak to any of those. Like whether like what would you give as far as advice, and then whatever advice you're given, you can tailor it to which industry you're talking to.
Right. Whatever your talent, gifting is, master it. Mm-hmm. Become a master, become an expert. Because guess what? They pay experts for what they know.
Mm-hmm.
Either you can have a career or you can have a job. Mm-hmm. See, when you have a career, you have more say, so you have more leverage, you have more power, or you become independent. You become the head brother in charge. You mm-hmm. charge what you want to charge. See, sometimes we trade dollars for hours.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm about to break that cycle. Mm-hmm. Y'all gonna have to pay a brother to get what he knows.
Mm-hmm.
You see, I already know my potentiality, my possibility, and it has become my reality. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of time before I make the right connection. There's a quote that says, your gift will bring you before great men.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a matter of connection and timing.
I love that. I love that.
Yes.
As I got more in tune to my gift, I've been honored to be in rooms with people that I was like, I couldn't believe I was in the room with. I was like, you sure you want to speak to me? You sure you want me at this meeting? And you want to hear my opinion? Like, me? it was an adjustment factor because, like, you went out and did the work, and now from the work, this is what happened, right? And all I did was work on myself, and then pour into my community that was around me. That's all I did.
What you did, you quantified yourself. You said, "This is me. This is what I'm offering." It just so happened that somebody was looking for what you were offering. Said, "Oh, we need that. Come on in." See, the thing is this: those who solve small problems get little money, and those who solve large problems get big money. They're just different principles. And so you solve a large problem that brought you into a larger group, a more influential, a more powerful group that's doing the same thing. You with people like yourself as far as vision and dream. So that's the key. And you know what? We all have that potential, but we all do not develop that potential.
Mm-hmm.
You see, now the level that you're at now, you go another couple of levels.
Mm-hmm.
You're going through what you call an adjustment phase, where you're adjusting to this level, but there are other levels to go. See, potential is unlimited. They said the sky is the limit, but I said we can go further than the sky. We're going to pass the galaxy. It's the limit.
Mm-hmm.
You determine how far you want to go.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody else.
Nah.
Either your faith or your fear will hinder you or propel you.
Nah. And that's so true. As far as what you say about that adjustment phase, I was watching a clip from Steve Harvey, who has a really good story about how he describes that. He's like, the flea has a 36-inch vertical, right? Mm. And wow, here's the thing about this flea. If you take that flea and then you put it in a glass jar and you put it in the lid, what that flea knows is it has a 36 vertical. So it's going to jump, but it's going to keep hitting its head. And then after a while of jumping and hitting its head, that flea makes adjustments, right? And so it only jumps high enough to know to make sure it doesn't hit its head. That flea has then produces offsprings. And so the offsprings follow what the mommy, they see the mommy and daddy do. They only jump this high, so they only jump this high, not knowing that they have the potential to jump 36 inches. So even if they took the lid off this jar, they will only jump as high as the brim of that glass, because they know they now have been conditioned to do nothing else but that. So we now have to readjust, because we're in a different time in life, society, and so forth, so that we can reach our fullest potential, which is going to take us to do our DDIM.
Come on, Doc. You could be my protege. You know, I could, I brother, I could take it to the next level in motivation. and it's for free, my brother. You know, I mentor a lot of men, and I mentor women also, too, because they're in these broken relationships. And, man, the potential is unlimited. You know, I can go in so many directions, and but I want to be skilled. I want to be a expert in what I do.
Yeah.
You remind me of the frog in the water.
Okay.
The boiling pot of water.
Mm-hmm.
The frog in the water in the pot begins to boil, but the frog does not move. And eventually he will boil himself to death because he does not make that move. He becomes too comfortable in his environment. He thinks he's safe in this environment where there's outside influences that cause him to lose his life. Mm. Just like the flea. It was an outside influence that had limited their potential. We got to be careful about the outside influences that does us no good.
Mm.
I think we know. But we just have to make the adjustments.
There you go. It's all about those adjustments.
Yeah.
What do you think the future has in store when you look at, you know, the industry you're in, whether it be book writing, being a creative, inspiring and mentoring, you know, young Black men and women to become their potential, to their highest potential? What does that look like? What does the future look like?
Well, what the future look like? One of my goals is this. I have a responsibility, not only to myself, but to others. Because when you possess power and influence, you have a responsibility to what you disseminate or to what you teach or even to what you preach. You have a responsibility. And my responsibility is to teach, to lift up, to pull out of you that greatness. You know, I'm an individual mentor, but I'm also a collective type of mentor. When I would go into the prison, jails, and juvenile, I would use a collective group of men that I would speak to, and I was able to speak into their lives. But the sole purpose of going that was I was trying to get this mind to change, then to alter their thoughts so they can think differently, so they can come out of their captivity. And I think the key is this reason why motivational speakers make so much money, is because guess what? They speak to your issue. They show you how to come up to the next level. They show you how to escape that prison that you've been in for so years. And you say, oh, but you know it all along. You just needed somebody to confirm it. You needed somebody to affirm you. And the problem is we don't have enough people affirming us and confirming us, so we just stay there because we're waiting on that affirmation and that confirmation. You're already great, but there's something about words. If you listen to words long enough, words begin to shape your thought pattern. That's why you better be careful who you listen to, what you see, and what you speak, because it all affects your thinking. As a man thinketh, so is he, so he becomes. And we become a product of our environments. Change your environment, you'll change your mind, your vision, your dream. Mm-hmm.
I think, therefore I am. I love it. I love it. I feel like me and you could talk for hours.
Yes, we can, but we only got 1 hour. Sure, you're right, Doc.
Because I was like looking at the time, I was like, man, me and him, we this is probably going for hours. So let's do this. What projects are you currently working on, and where can the people find you?
Okay, they can reach me at info@megasadafo.com. That's my website.
Okay.
They can reach me at ronb415@gmail.com, or they can reach me at 619-415-7196. That's my personal telephone number.
And remind them, what's the book that you got coming up that we should be looking out for?
It's called The Memoirs of a Vet Mind Wars. Mm-hmm. I wrote that specifically for veterans. Okay. I talk about PTSD mind. I talk about triggers. Man, I talk about some heavyweight stuff in there, man. For veterans, because they kind of go through a lot now.
Kind of, they do go through a lot. And yeah, you know, if you look at the history of how veterans been treated in this country when they come back from war, it's not been a beautiful homecoming.
Especially for brothers.
Man.
You know, we come back, if you read history, we had to fight. There were riots. Just atrocities happened to them. And they gave their life for this country, which did not honor them, the truth be told. But if you look at all the wars, we played a pivotal role. In fact, we played a very important role. And without us, a lot of the wars would not have been victorious or had the outcome that they had desired, truth be told.
Yeah.
Do your research.
I wholeheartedly agree. All right. Well, let's stop there, because I figure if I ask another question, we're going to get into some deep conversation.
Okay. Show your
right side. To close us out, is anything you would like to close us out with? Any words of wisdom, parting words of wisdom for the people? Thank you for spending some time with me today.
Yeah.
Just embarking in this conversation. I'm enlightened. I'm refueled. I'm rejuvenated. I am blessed to spend this time with you. So any last words of wisdom?
Yeah, I want to read this piece if I can.
Yeah, go ahead.
And it's called Semantics. Uh-huh. Semantics of others can cause a plethora of issues with a crippling indoctrination of inflated pain that has been renamed because of the deep implication of mental health altercation, giving it a replication of ultimate annihilation of the tongue. Potentially of words most surely can kill at will, if allowed to penetrate the conscious wall of the mind, leading to cognitive strychnine poisoning that bleeds into the heart, creating heart congestion and decapitation, the body functionality from truly being free to operate with full liberty. Somatics types have been known to alter the predestination of many where promised futures until the words release torture of the most deadliest kind without a hint speaking life of the resurrection kind. Lives have never raised the dead, but kept those of its bondage affected ways of caves of dark, not willing to pardon its intended victim helplessness. At one degree, one can be set free from the pending ministry. At others command, one can be enumerated by the abyss without any bliss, joy, happiness through eternity. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Be careful what you release. It could destroy a nation or bring revelation to save a generation from the inflated disease of hopelessness or the catastrophe of unity. Choose your poison or healing bond. Somatics.
Somatics.
Be a healer to your community, your people, and yourself.
Whew.
Yo, you're right.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That was. I got. We gotta get a round of applause for that one. That was a beautiful one. That was a beautiful one.
Love, my brother. Peace. Enjoy.
So before we head out, you gotta tell me what inspired that piece. Where were you at when that piece came to you?
You know, sometimes, Doc, I'm just sitting around and a word comes to mind. And I'll just write. I wake up 2 and 3 in the morning. I get a thought and I'll just write. It's like automatic, Doc. And I love words. And so one day, semantics, words. And I just started writing. Okay. It's like second nature. You know, like we have a conversation, like infiltration. Man, I can write a poem on infiltration, man. And it's a gift. It's a talent. Man, and so I give God all the glory for my talent, brother, because I love it.
And I guess that's been an inspiration for following your talent and really, you know, because God gives everybody a talent, but we all don't use it.
Yes.
So thank you for using that gift that he's giving you and sharing it with us. Somatics, man, be a healer of the tongue or be a healer with your tongue. That's one of the things that resonated with me. So thank you again, Ron. Okay. Man, this has been an absolute pleasure. You. We won't have to do this again sometime. I don't want this to be last time.
I'm gonna tell them,
you know, especially when you get that podcast going, like, depending on
what. I'm gonna start on that this year.
Let's go.
Very soon. Okay.
Well, you heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen. Ron said it here first.
Hey, I'm gonna follow up through with you, Doc, and we're gonna get it started.
Let's go.
I want you to be my mentor.
I appreciate it.
The mentor could be older or younger. Man. I don't have to be expert in everything, just in what I do. I find those who are expert, and then I glean from them.
Man. That's so true. I've learned from some younger folks in my life as well, especially with this social media thing.
Well, you're right, bro. Yeah.
All right, brother. Well, you have a blessed day. Thank you again. Amen. Appreciate you so much, and we'll be in touch.
You blessings, my brother. I'm honored. Thank you for having me.
And ladies and gentlemen, that's been another episode of Rise Urban Nation. Make sure you check out my brother Ron. I'm gonna have all the show notes in the bio, and so you could connect with him if you're driving and you didn't get a chance to write it down. And I'm definitely gonna have to try to have this brother back. We might do a master class or something. I don't know what it's gonna be, but I'm manifesting it here. You heard it first, and you know the podcast is coming.
No, you're right. It's on the way.
All right.
You have a great day, my brother.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Rise Urban Nation.
Thank you for taking the journey.
Be sure to like, comment, and smash that subscribe button. And stay connected with Terrell on and off the show. Follow at Rise Urban Nation on all platforms.
Do what you love. Love what you do. Don't chase the money. Let the money chase you.